How can I be neutral? Even my pen has a stand.
So we have from Malaysia Zunar, an extremely well-known political cartoonist who, when he received his latest set of charges from the government, said he'll continue to draw until the last drop of his ink. He currently faces 9 charges of sedition for his political cartoons, which is in total 43 years in jail, and that trial is due to start next week. So it's extremely timely that we're able to welcome him here today to talk about what it's like to be a cartoonist in Malaysia, but also to join Martin Rosen, who is a cartoonist for, among others, The Guardian, but also for Index on Censorship, has won number of awards and is also known for using his cartoons as a form of visual journalism to poke a very aggressive finger at the governments of this country and to talk about, between them, what it's like to be at that edge where you're pushing the envelope, where you're drawing the line. So would you join me in welcoming them both this evening? Thank you. And before I get in trouble from the social media team, if you want to tweet this evening, the hashtag is FreeZunar, and please do feel free to tweet. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, and welcome here this evening. And I actually feel rather humble to be on a platform with Zunar.
No need to say that.
Because I don't know what I would do if I was in his situation. We're very fortunate in this country that we've had over 300 years of the kind of stuff that I do and that Zunar does. And governments in this country realise that they would be on a very, very dangerous ground if they started locking up satirists, although I'm sure that every government is constantly trying to work out ways to do it. And also this year, we have realised that cartoonists are targets in all sorts of different ways. We're all obviously aware of the massacre that happened in Paris on the 7th of January when our colleagues at Charlie Hebdo were murdered, not just them. The first person murdered in the Charlie Hebdo massacre was the building services manager. I haven't noticed building services managers being interviewed at length about this attack on their profession, although it was an attack on their profession just as much as it was on ours. However, there is a difference between Charlie Hebdo and almost everything else, because Charlie Hebdo, our colleagues Shab, Honoré, Cabou, Tinius, and Walensky, three of those cartoonists were over 74 years old, by the way. They were murdered by murderers. They were murdered by people who were members of an organisation which is committed to murder, which is made up of people who murder for their living, for their dying. It's what they do. Al-Qaeda is not a government. It is a terrorist organisation. Zunar is in a far more difficult and disturbing situation than that, because he is being persecuted by the government of his country. Presumably for laughing at them. Yeah, and just to make it even better, here you are in Britain, you are being prosecuted under an old British colonial law.
Yeah. It was introduced when it's your fault, you know.
It's our fault.
Your government fault, you know, to everything now. Since 1948. Yeah. The law. Yeah, okay.
So
okay,
sorry then. Sorry for that.
But, yeah, okay, but, apologize, but, accepted.
But maybe you can just tell us, you know, precisely why it is that the government is pursuing you with a threat of you. I mean, you are now, I think, 53, 54?
53, yeah.
53, and they want to put you in prison until you're 96 years old.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So what have you done wrong?
I didn't think about that, you know, going to be, you know. Yeah. Okay. You know, like this, as a cartoonist, maybe we have a different, even though cartoonists, political cartoonists, I believe that you also agree that our job is to criticize the government of the day.
Absolutely.
But maybe here you have government, but in Malaysia it's a regime, it's not a government. Because just to inform those who don't know, that Malaysia been ruled by the same political party for more than 58 years. So it's a regime. It's not the government. So the job, I believe that the job and the role of political cartoonists are different compared to what you do here. Yeah. You criticize the government of the day, but here in Malaysia, we have to do more than that. It's to fight through cartoon.
Okay.
That's why I think I need to do that. I need to, because we want to push for reform. 58 years, the government, we have a very corrupt government. One survey published in New York Times, I can remember a few years ago, two or three years ago, said that Malaysia is second most corrupt country in the world. So that's why the role is more, we have to really fight through cartoon rather than just criticize them. So that's what I'm doing through my cartoon. So I expose the corruption, I expose all the wrongdoing by the government, and I do it. I did not simply just make people laugh, but my philosophy is always, why pinch when you can punch?
Yeah.
You punch them, you know, don't just simply pinch. It doesn't work for Malaysian government, you know?
Okay. I know there's one other cartoonist in the room apart from us, which is my friend and colleague Steve Bell here. Yeah. I don't know if there are any others of you who are cartoonists. But there's something sort of peculiar about our job.
Yeah.
Because of the nature of it. Now, you could be a journalist. You could be an opposition journalist in Malaya. You could be exposing the corruption of the government.
Yes, sir.
You could be writing
a blog.
Proposing an alternative government, just exposing the various lies and corruptions of the government. Do you think that the government would have responded to you as violently or with as much vehemence as they have done if you were just a straight journalist?
Oh, yeah. I don't want to undermine the journalists here. But again, I think that as a cartoonist, we have some advantage compared to other medium. Mm. You know, cartoon, normally people carry some joke that nowadays people want to laugh. You know, people live a very tension life, you know, every day. They want to laugh. So cartoon provide that. And also a very quick message. You know, you read cartoon, you can, very easy to understand in one or less than 50 seconds or less than 1 minute. Compared to you read the whole page of newspaper. And the other thing is, cartoon is very universal. I mean, I can sell my cartoon book, I can show my books, my cartoon in here, people can still understand.
Yeah.
You know, if I write one article in Malay language, I bring it here, nobody will understand. So that's its advantage. And also, the other thing is carry pictorial, you know, images that people can easily register in their mind, normally. Pictorial, you know. Like I draw, when I always draw the wife of the prime minister, which is, the people laugh already. You know, I when I mentioned that, people already laugh. The wife of prime minister, which is the most powerful person in Malaysia. So I draw with a very big hair, you know, all big, you know, for her, you know. So people can remember that. People can remember that. And there are talk that she did to change her hairstyle. she keep changing it, you know. So, but again, you know, one of my mission is for peoples to understand Malaysian politics through my cartoon.
Yeah.
You know, some people think that, you know, people abroad think that, well, Malaysia is very good, or, you know. People recently know Malaysia because of plane crash. You know, I was in Kentucky last year, you know. Very few people know Malaysia in the university. When I spoke in the university, people say that, do you know Malaysia? Only 2% know. It's a very Berea College, it's a very remote area. Mm. But I said, do you know the plane crash recently? Ah, that is Malaysia. So people know Malaysia really. So, but I want to people to know that to I can understand Malaysian politics through cartoon. So I think that is we're talking
yeah.
about the
yeah. But do you think I'm just trying to work out what it is about the Malaysian government that drives them so mad about you? Because this is an overreaction. I mean, yeah. You say it's the second most corrupt yeah. country on earth. It's a regime. We know in Turkey, for example, at the moment, the president of Turkey has got a big downer on cartoonists.
Yeah.
He's constantly putting cartoonists on trial. I helped organise something last year to get cartoonists around the world to draw caricatures of Erdogan. Yeah. He was trying to get a cartoonist called Musa Kart. Who was due to get, I think, 9.5 years. They wanted to put him in prison for 9.5 years oh. for a cartoon he did of the president.
I'm sure it's a graphic.
Yeah, and luckily it got thrown out. Yeah. And I hope that I showed him some support by getting cartoonists around the world to tweet cartoons yeah. of Erdogan far more unpleasant than the original one.
Yeah.
And 10 years previously, the same cartoonist was, I think, fined a huge amount of money for drawing Erdogan as a cat. Mm-hmm. I was in Istanbul a couple of years ago and talking to some other cartoonists, some Turkish cartoonists, and they said, how would I draw Erdogan? And I said, I'd never draw him as anything as nice as a cat. Cats are nice things. And so there is this... But I think it's always been there. The idea that the powerful, the one thing they cannot bear, they cannot stand, is laughter.
Laughter, yeah.
Because their position is inherently ridiculous anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
And what we do is we... It's like the person... You know the story about the emperor's new clothes, the little boy who laughs at the naked emperor. The first laugh is the beginning of a revolution. And it was George Orwell said every joke is a small revolution. So do you think it's the laughter in your attacks which is what drives them so mad?
First, I refer this Malaysian government as a cartoon government.
Yeah.
A cartoon government is a government by the cartoon, of the cartoon, for the cartoon. So there's a... Abraham Lincoln will say that, you know, it's still alive. So again, I agree with you that, you know, in Malaysia, you know, few people are brave enough to confront the government. They know that if you go to demonstration, the anti-riot police will come with gas and then they will put in the lockup or what. So very few people, for the various reason, they think that they don't want to confront government. But they can laugh at the government.
Yeah.
Laugh at the very easiest protest. The best protest they can do. Because the government, if you laugh at the government, what the government can do? And I think the best way is for if you keep laughing at the government, then they will fall down. They will fall down, you know?
Well, the thing is, what the government can do is it can put you on trial and try and put you in prison.
They cannot create anti-laugh act or law, you know, they cannot do that. They cannot do that. So we provide laugh. That's why for me, I provide that.
Yeah.
And for fair enough, you know, I have a Facebook that you know I keep I post my cartoon daily. And people sometimes I always draw wife of the prime minister, you know, as the first person, and then only that prime minister, you know, on the ranking. So people sometimes they laugh at, you know, ha 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 ha, so many ha ha's, you know. Because that's the protest, you know. Oh, you know what? Two hours is okay. You know, three hours. Like, normally three hours. But you know, to say that they want to laugh at the government, you know. So for them, I think this is what I provide there. In fact, I want to point out that in my Facebook, this is free for everybody to share. It's no copyright. I don't have copyright in my cartoon. So sometimes I put it according to Zunar Cartoons Law. You know, I can create my own law too.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, you know.
Absolutely. It's a
cartoon government.
Yeah, it's a cartoon government.
Cartoon government. And you are
the cartoon president.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, okay. That's
I'm the cartoon British ambassador.
Yeah. Okay. That's good. That's good.
That's good. I'm liking this.
Yeah. One day we hope that prime minister act like cartoon. The cartoonist can be prime minister. Why not?
Well, it was the...
Right. But I put it there clearly that according to Zunar's cartoon law, this is an offense not to share my cartoon.
Yeah. You go ahead. And because this is the my purpose is to for them to laugh at the government.
And presumably the government doesn't laugh. Mm. Do you think there are some people in the government who possibly are just sort of smiling behind their hands?
Yeah. That's why they make them more powerful, you know.
Yeah.
Because if people laugh, it's okay, but someone is behind you.
Yeah.
Someone just say okay, boss, anything, and then go back and say kick at the back. That will be more dangerous than people laugh. I think. But finally, you have to laugh. You know, if there's a cartoon, it's a joke enough.
Yeah.
If the joke is good, people will laugh. Doesn't matter you like that person or not. If I draw a cartoon about you, if you don't like me or you like me, you know, but you will laugh at it. Yeah. You definitely will laugh at it.
Well, I might
you know,
cry.
Okay. You did right to laugh, you know. That story about, you know Thomas Nast?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Yeah, Thomas Nast, you know.
Yeah.
So
he's the father of the American
political cartoonist. Father of American cartoonist, you know, American political cartoonist. He's unable to brought down this tweet. It's a
tweet,
governor.
Yeah, boss tweet.
Boss tweet, governor. You know? Yeah. So, okay, la, to cut the story short, finally, this tweet, the governor, and then when Thomas Nast keep drawing cartoon about him, you know, he fall down, and then he escaped to one remote island, then people are looking for him, you know, but finally the police detain him, can locate him, unable to locate him, detain him, and then with his all he got nothing during that time. He's very poor, nobody around him, but he has a scrapbook about cartoons about him. All he keeps, you know, even though it's all about him, you know. So this is something that I keep saying that maybe the wife of prime minister
liked
my cartoon too.
Yeah, well, it's, you see, this is the weird thing about our trade, our profession. It is very, very interesting and peculiar and odd and complex and primitive and basic. It's basically black magic. It's sort of doing damage at a distance with a sharp object. It's sympathetic magic. But it's also, our relationship with politicians is very odd. Now, your relationship with politicians is not good.
It's not good.
because they want to put you in prison until you're 96 years old, which is bad.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'm just wondering whether the wife of the Prime Minister actually does rather want an original Zunar, whether she would actually like to have an original piece of artwork. Because there's a lovely story I heard from a Palestinian cartoonist called Baha Buhari, who I met a few years ago, who worked for a Fatah paper. And during the PLO's exile from the Palestinian territories in Kuwait, he was working for this Fatah newspaper, and he'd done a cartoon of a Kuwaiti minister. And there was a knock on his apartment door in the middle of the night, and there were these two enormous men wielding guns, saying, "Come with us now." And they put him in a car, and they put a bag over his head so he couldn't see where he was going, and he was driven off into the middle of the desert, where there was this enormous house, which was guarded by men, big men with guns, and he was led in. And in the middle of the hall of this huge house was a Bedouin tent, indoors, surrounded by men with guns. And inside the tent where he was led in was the brother of the minister he'd done a cartoon about.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
Who was standing there, covered in guns, mm-hmm. and said, "Are you the cartoonist who drew my brother in the paper the other day?" Mm. And he thought, "Oh my God, I'm going to die. Yeah. I am literally going to die. Yeah, there are all these, I'm surrounded by people with guns." And he said, "Yes." He said, "Why haven't you drawn one of me?" which is actually a very typical cartoonist story they hate it and yet they love it. They certainly in democratic societies, it means that they're sufficiently interesting to have been noticed. And I mean, even Hitler, when he was asked why he had a stupid Charlie Chaplin moustache in 1930, he said, "My moustache is very political." It meant that the cartoonists could reduce him to a black square. He'd be instantly noticeable. So
that's why for me, I to thank you for the, you know, I'd like to thank the wife of the Prime Minister.
Yeah.
Yeah, because she gave me an idea every day.
Yeah. So what does she look like?
Where's the book? We can I have the book and can show that I can draw a bit. How do I draw her? You know.
Well, you talked about this. What,
people ask Zuna, me.
Tell us her name, so we know who you're drawing.
Yeah. Okay. Come again.
What's her name? What's the prime minister's
name? Rosma.
Okay.
Okay, Rosma. She is Rosma, and in my latest book it's dedicated to her. You know.
Okay.
I said that. Thank you very much because you give me an idea every day. You know, every time what I need to do is I sit. You know, in front of TV and just wash your mouth properly. If you once you open your mouth, I can draw already. Then I say that. But I put it again, you know. But sometime you keep quiet for 1 month, then I become worried. I got no idea. I got to pray to God, please, God, make her say something.
Yeah.
So, I think that then I need to thank her, you know, because she is very cartoonable.
Okay.
Then we need some cartoon character. I cannot survive by her husband, you know. Her husband don't say anything. One of his our prime minister famous quote is, "I don't know anything." yeah, that's what prime minister say. This is a famous quote, you know. You can quote everywhere. "I don't know anything." It's about an issue. But the wife is the one who keep talking, could do everything. So it's good for cartoonists. So I hope that even I fight. Try to fight them. I hope that she will stay in power for a long time, you know, benefit. Yeah, you know?
Seriously, have you had any kind of feedback from her or anybody surrounding her, what she thinks of your cartoons? Is this storm of rage from the Malaysian government because of the way you draw her particularly? Is it as simple as mocking the most powerful woman in the country means that you've fallen foul of the government?
I don't have a direct information about that. Right. But let me tell you a story about the charge against me to connect with this, you know?
Yeah.
Okay, I was charged by 9 charges under the Sedition Act. It's a record-breaking, you know? It's the first Malaysian to get 9 charges at one time. 9 charges at one time, you know? So, but previous week, in the week before, the police informed me it was 1 charge, you know? Mm. 1 charge. And at the very last minute, the police came back and informed me it's going to be 9 charges. So when I was detained, they put in lockup. So I told the police, why you change this? You know, why are you so sudden? He said that, "I'm sorry, I need to get instruction from Putrajaya." Putrajaya is the, you know, the government where the prime minister and the wife live.
Okay,
so they said, "I need to get a last minute instruction from Putrajaya."
Yeah.
I said, who instruct you? He didn't want to tell who.
Yeah.
But in Putrajaya only got 2 person.
Okay.
And I don't think the other one will give instruction.
And he doesn't know.
He knows nothing. He won't do anything about that. So
this is personal. This is personal between you and her.
I think it's personal. That's why don't need to, one is enough. Well, why do we need to go 9, you know? 9 is ridiculous. And I need to thank them too. Because it made a headline all over the world, you know.
As you said, you're a record breaker.
Type of government we have, you know.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we had to go 9, and then what they did to me, when it becomes last minute, when it becomes a last minute thing, I need to find a bill money. It's about 45,000 ringgit. Hmm. It's about 17,000 USD.
Yeah.
Within 8 hours to 9 hours. So it's already a punishment before trial.
Yeah.
If I'm able to get that, I will go straight to jail. But I will thank you very much for my supporters, including here, you know, who chip in money and finally I'm able to pay the bill.
Yeah.
But again, the point is this all I judging by her character, I think it's come from her. I cannot tell anybody else.
It's truly bizarre because in this country, I said earlier on, we are very, very fortunate because we've had a tradition of over 300 years of the kind of stuff that Steve and I do is part of the political conversation. That any politician who says, you know, "How dare you draw me like that?" people will laugh at him more than they would if we actually drew them, because they can't take a joke, and you can't admit in British public life that you have no sense of humour. I'm trying to get my head around what I would feel like if I was in your position. Just doing my job, and my job is to mock the powerful. That's what the role of cartoonists and satirists is. And I think it's actually something which is the same as being human. Same as being human and alive, is we mock people who think they're better than us. That's what we do. It's how we stop ourselves from going mad. And yet, if I had what you have hanging over my head, here you are in Britain, which is a moderately free country, though possibly getting less free all the time, we don't know. And yet you are prepared to fly back to Malaysia to go to court.
It's going to be next week.
Next week. And there is, while you are standing, you're sitting here as a wonderful testament to the power, but also the joy of laughter, the joy of laughing at the powerful and the corrupt. And you are prepared to make a stand for that fundamental human freedom.
Even my pen has a stand.
Yeah.
How can it be this? Yeah, okay.
And possibly go to prison for the rest of your life.
Yeah. You do mention this of my life on 94. You know, that put unnecessary pressure.
Okay.
Unnecessary pressure.
I'll put it another way. You're looking pretty good. You'll probably make it to 106. So.
Okay. Ladies.
You'll get 10 years okay, out after okay. the end of it.
But we are cartoonists, you know.
Yeah.
I believe there are some artists here too. For me. Whether you agree or not, or Steve Bell will agree or not, sure you will agree, you know. Mm. You cannot say no with this, but I just ask. Okay. Talent is not a gift. Do you agree with it? Talent is not a gift. Not a gift. It's a responsibility. That's my view. You know, talent is not mine. It's not us. It's God sent. No university in the world offer talent course. You go to Oxford, no talent course. Nobody can offer that. So, for me, it's very important for an artist, a political cartoonist like me, to fight for my people. So that's the concept. So I want to go back. When they put me in, the trial will expose this how cartoon this government can be, the Malaysian government. So that's the main point, you know. I can stay here and draw a cartoon like you draw a pig. You know, I saw one of cartoon about the HSBC, a pig cartoon the prime minister or what, with a pig at the bottom of the pig, you know, kind of thing.
Yeah.
You will be hanged twice in Malaysia if you do that, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you can do it here.
It had a pig in it for
yeah.
a start.
Yeah. But again, because this is my mission, yeah. I want to understand that. I really want to say that talent is not for myself. I really believe in this. So I need to fight for my people. That's why now I introduce I don't refer my cartoon as a political cartoon, but it's a people's cartoon.
Yeah.
Cartoon for the people. Again, you know, I always draw some people in Malaysia or here, I think, they think that corruption is nothing to do with them. Laymen, people like us, you know, politician corrupt. I have to do my job. You know, I have to do everything. I have nothing changed in my life, politician corrupt. But I want to tell Malaysian that you are the one who pay for their corruption. So in my cartoon, I always put the people who suffer. That's why I call people's cartoon. There are always people there who suffer from whatever politician do. You are the one who suffer. So I want the people to say that, come with us, then this is all about us, not just about politics. Politicians don't pay toll. The people need to pay toll. Politicians don't affected by this petrol hike because the salary is very high. But the people's is. So it's not about political cartoon, it's about people's cartoon. That's why I did
it. Well, I think that's very interesting because, I mean, for years, I've been doing this for over 30 years now. I would think I've drawn this person's ears so horribly that they have to resign. Their position in public life is totally untenable because I've drawn their ears like this. Now I realise that wasn't what I was doing. That, although we attack politicians, and we expose them for what they do. We make them look ridiculous. We exaggerate their ridiculousness to make them look even more ridiculous. Our purpose, I don't think, is to shame them into resignation. It's to actually empower everybody else to laugh at them.
To laugh at them.
Yeah. And to laugh at them is, as I said, one of the most powerful things there is. Every joke is a tiny revolution. I want to open this up now, if you're happy to take questions from the audience.
Yeah.
Yep. If anybody, and then we can sort of have a chat. And then we'll do some drawing, I think.
Oh, okay.
Does anybody have a question at this point?
Yes.
And we've got a microphone coming around.
It sure is an easy one.
As you know, Naomi, when I visit to Malaysia. Now, I don't know the charges about when you charge without trial for Sedition Act, but in Sabah, we had, since 1st of February, it's 9 Sabah in charge for sedition and paid for 10,000, 20,000 each person.
Mm-hmm. What is the offence?
The offence is for Publication Act.
Okay.
Just the signed petition to collect people who are agreed to claim our rights legitimately. And the government just have the ambush to 9 of them, go to the court, 2 of them remanded for 2 days. But then later on, that was 1st of April, in mid-April, then the other 4, again, being ambushed by the police just because they have pen and paper only.
Oh, okay.
It's not armed.
Yeah, let me do.
Now, the trial will be on the 18th of May to 22nd of May in Sabah Session Court for Sedition Act, just because we have pen and paper, no less than anything else.
Yeah, okay.
So, but the charge that I want to highlight here in West Malaysia is more lesser, because in Sabah, they charge 20,000 per person in Ringgit Malaysia. And that's damn the whole, we have to collect donation, the whole island of Borneo to pay for this. This is a very serious thing for the Sedition Act, and I'm very unagreeable. I'm disagree with this for the last many years. Yeah, now attacking back from that, attacking myself, and this time I'm not going back to Malaysia. Just when you know there is a crocodile there, and you put up yourself there for them. So no, so I'm fighting from England to say what I want to say to the government. Now, my respect to Zunar, being very strong as soon as I know him, to face this charge, but it's no joke about Malaysia, it will become worse than anywhere in the world, and you can compare Malaysia to Zimbabwe government, no joke about it. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for that. On my way here this evening, my place I went to previously, I walked past a bus which had a whole of advertisement on the side of it, beautiful blue seas and sun-kissed beaches, saying, come to Malaysia for a taste of paradise.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But don't take any pens or paper. Has anybody else got a question at this stage?
Yeah.
Yes, sir, at the back.
Only two.
But they must be massive and really hard.
Secondly, I'm sure that we've got a huge responsibility now that, as you mentioned earlier, have you considered your family? What's the effect on them? Personally, then.
Okay. Want to collect first, or?
Oh, good. If you answer that.
You want to know about the effect to my family? Is it that?
Yes.
Okay. My wife worked with the government. Strangely, again, you know, my because we this is the risk we need to take. In general, I think that we need to choose whether you want to be an activist or you want to be rich. So we have to make it clear this, you know. So for me, I think that okay, I need to sacrifice a lot of things, and then to you know, because I need to uphold my principle. So principle is very important for me. So there will be I am true believer that if you do things right, we do that, and then the rest all leave it to Almighty. You know, that's my principle as a Muslim. You know, not Al Qaeda. You know, but I believe in that. So, you know, I don't want. What is important for me, you know, for an artist around the world who face this type of problem is we need to overcome the self-censorship. And it's a way to do it. If you start to, the self-censorship start to come in your mind, it will affect your work. If I do this, what will happen to my wife? If I do this, you know, now nine, they're going to be 19. You start to think that. So, for me, but of course, we are people. We are human. We have that, you know, come in my mind, come to try to think through, or in what level I need to draw. But I take this way of, okay, I just concentrate what I'm doing. I don't care what the government will do. So this is how I overcome my self-censorship. If not, I will definitely, you know, try to find other way to escape, or try to draw a very soft cartoon, or the wife of Prime Minister suddenly becomes slim in my cartoon. Yeah. You know, that's
I must admit, I was just
this is, yeah.
I was just thumbing. That's her there. I was just thumbing through this briefly, and these just the way you draw her hair is hilariously funny. It's just very, very funny. There is something.
Yeah, you see in the previous book.
Yeah, but she must. I mean, there's a wonderful one of her different hairstyles. But she must realise how funny her hair is.
Yeah,
look at that. It's a panda.
There's a panda style.
Panda in her.
That's great. You see in the previous book, it's about hair.
Yeah.
Pirate of the Caribbean.
Yeah.
BN is a ruling party.
Okay.
So Pirate of Caribbean. So I draw this. You see, there's two pirates here.
Yeah.
This husband is a pirate.
Yeah.
But for her, no need to wear the pirate hat. Because the hair is already like a pirate, you know? So she's a natural-born pirate. So this is also the style.
Yeah, this is this is what I saw.
And that is just a
funny drawing.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know who this... I mean, until you started speaking this evening, I didn't know who this woman was. But this is just a funny drawing.
Yeah.
And it just seems to be that that's the thing they can't stand.
Yeah, I think that's...
Well, she should have a different haircut. She should shave her head.
Well, that's when, yeah, okay.
You see, that's when you've won.
Yeah.
When she shaved her head.
How would that give me more idea to draw?
Yeah, well,
you know, the bald one of the Prime Minister, there will be... But again, I agree with you that, you know, they should laugh at it. You got an award from the government, eh?
The government doesn't give awards to cartoonists.
Okay, but how your government, the prime minister or any cabinet minister?
I mean, you know, we encounter politicians now and again. I mean, of the politicians I've encountered, I mean, Gordon Brown was the most interesting one because I tried to talk to him about economic policy, and he said, "Why do you always draw me so fat?"
And I said, the most women like that, you know? Like, okay.
And I said, I said, "Because you are fat," and he sort of went away.
Yeah.
But Steve here draws our sadly recently re-elected Prime Minister. I shouldn't have said it's a bit political, isn't it? Fucking. Anyway. David Cameron as a condom. And you know, people say to me, "Why does Steve draw him as a condom?" Well, because I think I'm right. This originally he believed in transparency in government. Condoms are transparent. He was a caring conservative, so there was a great deal of lube on this condom before it was going to fuck the country, basically. But most important is he's a very pink man. He is pink and shiny. He looks like a condom. This is right. Yes. But he did. But you met him once, and he did say to you,
yeah,
I mean. Fascinated by them. It's a bit of an addiction, really. Nobody else bothers to go and see them at conferences. If you don't do it, I don't do it anymore because it struck me as a complete waste of time.
No, I love it.
Right, you need to see them moving around.
Yeah, right? I love to follow them around and look at them and see them and draw them. Mm-hmm. And I pretend to be a photographer. And the great thing about photographers is they all dress up like terrorists and they have large, heavy equipment. Yeah. So I've got a proper camera. And you crawl around at their feet looking up at them so you can get very close to them.
Yeah,
and it helps to have a camera so you can actually magnify their faces and just look in and just record and see what they're like. Mm-hmm. And it's useful for me because we're cartoonists. We spend most of our lives at our desks because it takes time and you sit there and you pour it out. But it helps sometimes to go and get something to put back, to go and see. But mercifully, I don't get arrested for it. And I can look them in the eye, and they can look me in the eye, and they go, give me a nice grin. So Cameron came up to me once and said, this is last election, 5 years ago, and he said, what's all this about the condom? What's this condom thing all about?
Okay.
So I said, more or less, what mine. I said, it's to do with your extreme youth. Well, he's much younger than me. He's 15, 20 years younger than me. I'm an old fart now. And the smoothness of your complexion. Because having followed him around with a lens, I realise he hasn't got any hair follicles at all. He's completely smooth. He is unnaturally smooth. And I could have also said, you're a dick. But that would have been rude. That would have breached the...
But he then said, didn't he say to him later, how far can you push a condom?
Well, it's a few months later, by which time he was Prime Minister, there's another some piss up somewhere at a conference, and again he came to made a beeline. I was standing with the late great Simon Hoggart, we were drinking, and he came round with his entourage, which included Andy Coulson and Rebecca Wade, swooping around the room, these sleaze balls. And he came straight and he said, you're not still doing that old condom thing.
God.
To which I thought, well, inside I was thinking, yes, yes, of course I am, because you obviously don't like it.
Yeah.
And then he said, you can only push a condom so far. You know?
Okay, now we're talking about, we go to another, I would like to ask both of you, if you can, Okay, now we have a post Charlie Hebdo.
Yeah.
We're talking about... will you draw cartoon about to insult Prophet Muhammad or Islam? I mean, just you.
Okay, I'll answer that directly. Immediately after Charlie Hebdo, I proposed to The Guardian that I should do a cartoon of the Prophet Muhammad with his head in his hands, like that, wearing, stroking Muayza, his cat. You know the story about the Prophet and his cat Muayza. So his face is covered. And he's wearing a Not In My Name t-shirt. And I proposed this to The Guardian because I thought, because there's an awful lot of people out there who are using this as an excuse to attack Muslims even more. And I wanted to kind of, outmaneuver them. And The Guardian, to its credit, spent 12 hours thinking about this. And they ended up by saying no, which is their right, because I don't self-publish. I don't publish on... a website or anything like that, I get paid by The Guardian to produce stuff. And I had to square it with my family. I had to ask my children, who are in their 20s. And they said, yes, that's all right. My son sent me a rather nice email saying, if you do get assassinated, can you make sure I do it? Which was nice of him. And then it didn't happen. And they both admitted to me that they were actually physically sick with anxiety about the fact that I might suddenly have to go into hiding, I might get murdered. Yeah, Very unlikely, but it might happen. Who knows? But I then did a... instead, I did a cartoon of me slumped on my drawing board, holding a piece of paper, describing the cartoon I hadn't drawn, and saying, but some of my loved ones don't see why I should get killed just to give you bastards a bit of a laugh or a smile. And then I spent 48 hours being attacked anonymously for not having drawn the Prophet Muhammad. So I was the world's worst coward because I hadn't drawn the Prophet Muhammad. And all these people doing it on the internet, doing it anonymously. And after a while, I think I tweeted, why don't you just draw your own picture, stick it on your front door, put it on Facebook with your name and address. So on the one hand, there are people killing cartoonists. On the other hand, there are people who want cartoonists to die. So... But prior to that, after the Danish cartoon thing, I very publicly said that I thought that the commissioning of those cartoons by the Danish, by Jyllands Posten, was wrong, because it was about targeting powerless people who are poor, live in Danish society, for the most part, clean the toilets in Jyllands Posten's offices. Then, when people use the excuse of the cartoons as a way of extending political power, then it becomes different. But anyway, Steve, would you draw the prophet, Muhammad?
Well, I had a similar problem to you. Whether I draw him or not, I sort of asked myself the question: well, what's the point?
Why
am I doing Muhammad this year? I don't give a flying fuck about Muhammad. I've done God, you know. go to the big guy. You know, why bother with the middleman kind of thing? This is my personal abusive opinion of all religion, which I loathe. I think we share similar opinions to you. So that, which you could say it's bold, you could say it's simply cowardly. What I did do, I had the same problem the same weekend I was doing a strip for the Monday. I have this character who's an artist who looks a bit like me, a bearded git. He wears a beret.
Is it you?
No. Yeah, he's sort of based on. You know, but he's called Monsieur L'Artiste, and he embodies the sort of, I suppose, the pretensions of art. The desire.
I thought he embodied the pretensions of you.
Yeah, well, exactly. That's it. My pretentious desire to be an artist, to be a sort of. There's a whole element about art which I sort of adore and also loathe. And he was having a rant about cartoons. He said, cartoonists, they're all wankers. Yeah. It's just sweet Charlie Bullocks. You know, I can't remember the exact wording of the strip. But the final frame was the artist with a sort of green background, and his beret had expanded to become a turban. And he was saying, je suis Mohammed. So, which is a stupid joke. I thought I might get away with it, so I wasn't actually drawing Mohammed, but I sort of was, but wasn't. And same thing happened as happened with Martin. I heard that they spent hours and hours deliberating. There was a sort of exchange of correspondence. For once, it wasn't as kind of the kind of abrupt text I get from Russ Bridger. It was quite a considered letter, which he very kindly sent me. And I sort of saw his point. He didn't want to publish this because it would, you know, taken out of the context of a strip cartoon. It could be, you know, pushed about, and he was worried that the Guardian would be blown up, and I quite understand that. Something you cannot. So I amended it, and I had the artist saying, "Je suis un gros con barbu," which means I'm a big fat bearded cunt, basically. it's not quite the same word.
This is a free expression organization, by the way.
Which they did publish.
What is the question?
Have you finished?
Yeah, I did.
Have you finished there, Steve?
Yeah.
I think so.
I think he's finished the one, yeah. And I just wanted to add something to that. I don't know if you noticed as we came in this evening, but we had security on the door. This is now about the fourth or fifth event I've done on cartoons where we've had to have security on the door simply for having a debate about cartoons. Not even one in which Charlie Hebdo was in the title or we were going to talk about Islam. Because the idea that we might be discussing cartoons and offence might be offensive to some people, and I think that kind of suggests something of the environment in which we're now operating.
It's not much comfort to anybody, but I always there is nothing more offensive than killing somebody.
Yeah.
Nothing I could draw could ever be more offensive than somebody killing me. But, you know, I don't think that cuts much ice with many people. Sorry.
Zuno, when was the first time you were arrested?
In September 2010.
Okay, that's about 5 years ago.
Yeah.
And you've had your offices raided.
Yeah.
Your books confiscated.
Banned.
Your staff threatened.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you were called by the Washington Post, New York Times, Al Jazeera, and all the other press organizations around the world. And then recently, after Charlie Hebdo, and then you were again arrested. When you wore the wig outside
I was in London.
Yeah, okay. Now, all the press around the world were interested to interview him, but there was not a squeak from the British press. Why is that?
You ask me or...
I don't know. Any members of the press here?
I don't know. It's a very good question. I wish I could answer that. I don't have any editorial control over the papers I work for whatsoever. I try and feed them stories. They pay no attention to me because I'm just a cartoonist.
True, but why did the Washington Post, the New York Times, Al Jazeera, CNN, and other newspapers, they contacted him when he was in Kuala Lumpur?
Yeah.
But nothing from here.
Probably because our press is corrupt and craven. I have to
say. Can I quote that?
means I might not work in it any longer, but you know.
The view, you know? Yeah, maybe, yeah, but yeah.
Maybe there are some other members of the press here who would.
I wish there were.
Maybe Claire can reply to that. Come again?
Oh, no, but this was 5 years ago. He hasn't been arrested. He wasn't just arrested yesterday. He has had trouble with the British government, with the Malaysian government for 5 years.
Yeah, more than that.
Yes. But nothing from the British press.
Okay. I'm unfortunately not able to answer that. I wish I could, but I'm desperate to know what Zunar's answer is to the question he posed to.
Well, I was about to ask him that. Yeah.
To Steve and Martin, drawing. And whether you think that there's anything that shouldn't be drawn or can't be drawn, and you know you can be as specific as you like about that. But where's the line for you?
The line, okay. I will talk generally. For me, I don't interest in other topic. For me, only the wife of Prime Minister now. So that is only my target. So people ask me why I don't draw other things. No, that's not my target. But talking back about the line, you know, how far the cartoonist can go. I would like to put it in proper perspective. You know, people now mix up between the moral right and your artistic right. This is two things people don't really, you know, you need to put a proper perspective. Okay, moral right is something that, you know, it's very subjective. Charlie Hebdo cartoonist draw Prophet Muhammad, Muslim angry. But if you draw about Jesus, Christian, relax. You know, so it's about subjective thing. So you can have a right not to happy with that. You can angry with that. You can say that you are insulted. Me as a Muslim, when I saw that cartoon, I say, "Oh, this is too much." You know, I'm not happy with that, but I need to respect their right as a cartoonist.
Yes,
you know, this moral right. Okay, you can say the moral right. You can say they are no moral. Go ahead, but not to kill them. You see that one point I would like to highlight here is a question actually: if Prophet Muhammad still alive today, will he kill order the cartoonist to be killed or not?
No.
No? No. Prophet Muhammad will not order them to be killed. But who are Muslim now to think that they are more Islamic than Prophet Muhammad?
Oh,
so
indeed.
This is the thing you need to be, you know?
I mean, I did, I have to say, I have to admit this, and this is being live-streamed around the universe, so it'll be after me after I admit to this. I did, after the Jyllands Posten cartoons, Danish cartoons, imbroglio, let's call it that, happened. I did actually draw the Prophet Muhammad. I drew a man with a beard and a turban reading a copy of Jyllands Posten with a thinks bubble saying, "None of these look anything like me."
Yeah.
Which I thought was a perfectly good joke.
That's a good joke, too.
It's a good joke.
So where you worry about?
That was published in a tiny circulation magazine. It nearly got into The Scotsman, and they pulled it at the last minute out of fear. Mm. And we do, I mean... The admission. Sorry, just a minute. But the admission that you needed security, because we're talking about cartoons. Cartoons are meant to be about joy and laughter. They're meant to be about making life bearable by laughing at the idiots in charge and the morons who think that their principles are worth anybody's life. That's what cartoons are about. We are the licensed jesters. You know, not the unacknowledged legislators. Nobody would want a law passed by a cartoonist. But you need us to help you laugh at them.
I think there's something important. You said it's not my target.
Yeah.
It's what's really important is we choose our targets. I don't want some twat who's got a billion's body about Muhammad to choose my target. I don't want to draw.
Yeah.
I don't care. Yeah. I don't need to draw, man. That's the whole point. You're not being sweetness and light. You're being offensive. Yes, yes. You are. It's deliberate. I mean, one does take a joy in it. One does take a delight in offending people. But you want to offend the people you want to offend. You don't
exactly.
want to offend, you don't want to deliberately or accidentally offend, though you probably will. I mean, so what you said is absolutely crucial. It's choose your targets. And that's part of it's the ideas in the cartoons. We're articulating ideas. We're using humour to put a point across.
I'm going to give the last word to Zuna, but I just wanted to say that the reason I am a cartoonist and I am a satirist is because I am offended. I am deeply, deeply offended by the fact that this stupid woman with her stupid hair wants to put you in prison.
You agree with her at all?
No.
Okay, example.
I'm deeply offended by inequality. I'm offended by the very idea that people think that they can place themselves in a position of power over me and the rest of us. Yeah. And that is why I am a cartoonist and why I'm a satirist. The fact that we have to hide in the shadows behind security because there is an idea that somehow we are doing something so unspeakable that we're all going to get murdered and you are going to get murdered as well.
This is just recently, you know?
It's recently, yeah.
Past 10 years. Because of internet, everybody can think, because of the emergence of social media, maybe. You know?
Yeah, I think it is. Anyway, I'm going to give the last word to you and then I'm going to wind up. So, give us your message before you go off to trial.
Before we go to trial for 96 years again?
No.
After 96 years? Yeah. Okay.
Comfort
first
us.
Of all, thank you for your support. You know, you come here to support me and to hear my testimony about what happened to me. And for Malaysian, I would like to invite you all to join me in fighting this government. And we do whatever we can. You know, as I'm a cartoonist, I draw cartoon. Those days I know. I don't know to do anything. But I will... You people, everybody can do their part. Do whatever you can. Do whatever you can. Everybody can. If you people can write, you write. If you can speak, you speak. If you can block, you block. The least you can do, if you have the dog, you know, the dog can bite the Prime Minister leg also. I think the wife of Prime Minister leg will be more, you know.
Yeah,
but that's a contribution. To show that we can do everything. Anything we can do. So I hope that by everybody doing anything, everything, then this is what is very important in this struggle. You know, we are all just like a drop of water in the ocean. But if we combine, we can create tsunami. So this is important for us to understand that. So nobody hero. We are here because we draw cartoon, but we are not hero. You know, everybody are the same. We play our part. And then also, if you want to help me, today I have some book. This book is Rose in Kangkong Land. This is my latest book. It's unable to launch. I tried two times to attempt to launch it, but the police was there earlier to stop it. So you can help me by buying this book from my assistant here. That's my message.
And Zuna, this has been an absolute privilege to me. You are, without doubt, one of the bravest men I've ever met in my life.
Yeah.
And
good luck to you. Me too. Good luck to you. I would like to present this to you. Yeah, this cartoon to you.
Thank you. That's great.
This is for you. Yeah.
Thank you.
This is for you. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you, Zuna. Yeah. Come on. Give him big up for this man.
Thanks to Index on Censorship for hosting me here.
Right.
Come again?
Oh, yeah. We got
Oh, okay.